Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a lot of things today. It is President's Day. It is a Monday. It's the day before the storm hits tomorrow. It is also, as Jamie brought to my attention, National Drink Wine Day. And there is nothing wrong with National Drink Wine Day.
We're doing a little Kathy Lee and Hoda here in the studio without the wine.
Don't worry, boss.
We're playing by the rules while you're off. But the godfather of wine in Kansas City is considered to be Jimmy Francais from JJ's. And you're making the rounds today. I geeked out for like 5 minutes. We were talking wine during the news there. So we've already got a lot of information ready to go.
I hope we were recording you guys just riffing back and forth from that break.
It was great.
Thanks for coming in, Jimmy. We appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Or do I refer to you as godfather?
Great to be here. There are a lot of people that know a lot about wine, but I do have the biggest wine list in probably in the Midwest in 15 states or so.
So we'll get into some trends and we'll get into some of the, you know, what's happening in the industry a little bit. But I think one of the most common questions that people ask about wine, particularly if you're not a wine drinker, is, okay, so I'm going into a restaurant or I'm going into a big liquor store, and let's say I don't know a lot about wine, which I think is common. I think a lot of people are fans and are wine drinkers, but don't necessarily know a lot. How do you pick out what you're going to like? How do you go to a place like Luca's where the wine selection is insane in a good way, and it can be overwhelming? If you're not a wine expert, how do you pick out something that you're going to like?
You know, always the first thing is if you're in, say, a liquor store or you're in a restaurant, whoever's helping you out, whether it's a server in a restaurant or the salesperson, ask them questions. Go up and tell them, you know, what you're looking for, what your experience is, if you've had a wine that you've liked in the past, what it was, and don't be afraid to ask about it. Don't be intimidated. Like if you come into JJ's and you see 1,800 wines on the list, don't let that scare you. Just get with the server, ask them, tell them what your experience is, and ask them, talk to them about it.
What kinds of questions are they going to ask, or what could you know about yourself that could be helpful to them to figure out what you would like in wine?
Jamie, you always start with white and red, rosé, sweeter, drier. Those are the kinds of questions. And almost always, novice wine drinkers like something a little sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Really, to really enjoy big, dry red wines, you kind of have to work up to it. You've got to train your palate a little bit.
You and I are very trained, is what he's saying, Jamie.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's how I started my first couple of trips to Napa, and I've done Napa, I don't know, 5 or 6 times because I had a girlfriend that went to grad school there. But I started off with the sweetest whites I could get my hands on. It was all I could handle. The next year, I was doing Pinot Noirs because those are a lighter and softer red. And then by the third or fourth year, it's like, give me the biggest, darkest, boldest red that you have. But it takes a little time to work up to that.
It really does. And, you know, experience does help. You don't ever just jump in at the highest level. And obviously, the more complicated the profile of the wine is, the more you need to kind of work up to that point. And that's why people go to the sweet wines first. When I first started drinking wine, and I tell this story, it drives people crazy. I discovered at a Neil Young concert in Colorado a wine called May wine, which is not really even wine. It's a sweet German wine, and it's flavored with a spice called Woodruff, which even adds a little bit more sweetness to it. And I drank that for a few months before the guy at the liquor store, as we were just talking about, said, what are you doing drinking this? And I said, well, I used to drink Hams and Pabst, and I got turned on to wine, and so that's what I'm drinking. And he kind of took me under his wing and said, here, I got some ideas for you. And it worked out really well for me.
Kansas City's godfather of wine, Jimmy Franze, is in studio here on 98.1 KMBZ. Be honest, how much difference is there for, I wouldn't say Jamie and I are novice drinkers, but a $20 bottle of wine versus the $80 bottle of wine? Yeah,
you know, Mike, we can almost start with the $5 bottle
of wine. Okay, my budget. I didn't want to tell you my secret.
You know, Trader Joe's has some great wines. Costco does at a very low price point. You get to the $80, $90. There's obviously a difference in quality. When you get into the hundreds from the mid, say, 50s or 60s, I don't know if there's really the value for that higher price point. If you've got the money, okay, go ahead and do it. But there are tremendous wines out there for $15 to $20, well-made, very good representations of where they came from and what the grape varietal is.
So I'm going to ask then, if you're going out to get a bottle, let's say you're going to a party. Wicket's having a hey, I had a new baby party. Bring over all the wine for when we can finally get back to drinking a little more again. And you know you want to spend under, let's say, $15. Because I agree. I think there's a lot of great wine out there for under even like $12. But it's not all amazing. You know, some of those cheaper wines are not great. So are you looking at year? You know, are you looking at... I'm a geek, so I know, like, oh, 2015 was a great year in Napa because they had great weather. Not everybody knows that kind of stuff. How do you pick it out then?
Well, again, I'd say, if you're in a liquor store, go to the salesman and say, this is what I'm looking for. I don't want to spend more than about $15. I don't think vintage plays as much of a part in wines in general in under $50. Over $50, it probably makes a whole lot more sense. Grape varietal is a big part of it. Again, the color, white or red. What have you had that you really like? But the key is to not be afraid. Don't be intimidated when you walk in and see hundreds of selections of wine. Ask somebody for some help.
With the geek factor that Jamie was talking about, I was
admittedly.
But it plays into it too, and it's like when you go to a winery and you listen, and you're not just there to drink. Like the first five times I went to a winery, I was like, I'm just there to drink and get schnocked.
It's how many wineries can we hit in a day?
Right, exactly.
It's quantity. Yes. It's how many can we get to?
Do you want to go out that night?
Right.
No, I was in Napa not too long ago, and it was. You know, grapes, color of grapes, amount of sunlight they get, that's the location. Like, the science of it is amazing. How do our wineries around here, obviously not as many as in the Sonoma Valley in California, but how do our wineries compare?
Vineyards? There are really some pretty nice wines being made in Missouri. And what a lot of people don't know is before California became what it was, Missouri was the largest wine-producing state back in the early teens, before Prohibition.
Wow.
We had more wineries than California did.
Hmm.
That's because the Germans came. They were all over the eastern side of Missouri. They're starting to make some pretty credible wines. Grape varietals are a really important factor, I think, and a lot of the varietals that grow in Missouri naturally, you can make wine out of them, but you can't make a quality wine in my mind. They're a lot sweeter. But again, if that's your style, then drink it. Truly.
I want a t-shirt that says that, Jimmy.
Yes, whatever you like, do it.
Yeah.
But Missouri has some decent wines. One of the issues is the grape varietals and the weather here. Whether there's global warming, climate change, it's still about how much sun, how cold the winters get, how warm and humid the summers get. Because one of the problems with growing grapes in Missouri is that there's so much humidity. They have a lot of mold, a lot of fungus, and those are real detrimental to growing good grapes.
What are some of the trends? We were talking about this a little bit during the news. What are you seeing? And I know this is a big loaded question. But I'm always curious to know what people are drinking, what are the trends, what's going out of style a little bit, and why, how those trends happen.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. A trend that we saw develop in the 2006, 2007, right after the movie Sideways.
Oh, people hated Merlot. Yeah, it was hip to hate Merlot.
We're not drinking bleeping Merlot.
Hated Merlot and loved Pinot.
Uh-huh.
Pinot Noir is still the number one varietal wine in my restaurant.
Is it really?
It sells more than more than Cab.
I'm going to pan Facebook Live over to Jamie's face. Yeah. She's not happy with that.
There's no way it can be just because of that movie, right?
Well, I think really it did start with that movie.
Okay.
Jamie, because people got educated and fascinated with wine. And before the movie, it was just a bottle on a shelf.
Yeah.
And then you're out in the wine country. You get into the dynamic of the personalities. I think that Pinot Noir became as popular as it did because of that movie. And it's a credible wine.
Yeah.
It's made in a lot of different styles. I think I like French Pinots, personally. California Pinots, okay. Oregon's starting to make some really nice Pinot Noirs. But it really was that movie that just had such appeal to such a mass of people that Pinot Noir took off.
It's amazing.
But, you know, on that note, one of the things that I'm starting to see is, and I think it's driven by a younger demographic, is people are looking for wines that have not been manipulated or adulterated. So I'm seeing a lot of unoaked Chardonnays on the market becoming popular, unfiltered Chardonnays and Cabernets, organically produced wines. And I think that's a good direction for them to go. And I think it really starts with, like I said, a younger demographic. So I think a trend is for wines that are a little cleaner in style. I can go into...
You can blame millennials. It's fine. The damn millennials. I understand.
Millennials, X generation... And it's not really a blame factor. The good news is they all have cell phones and they have the internet, which, when I was growing up and starting to drink wines, I didn't have that. I had to go buy a book every time I drank a wine.
Yeah.
And now you Google it and you can learn about it.
I do want to talk about a trend in wine coming up, and that is the way it's packaged, because it's a really interesting trend, I think, and it goes a bunch of different ways. We'll do that coming up on the other side. Kansas City's godfather of wine, Jimmy Franze, is in studio. It's midday with Jamie and Wick. And if you have wine questions, you always wanted to ask something, text them in, 22980, or put your comments on Facebook. We're Facebook Living this interview.
We're Facebook Living, and I'll tell you what, we'll keep going through the break a little bit on Facebook Live. We did have some interesting conversation during the news that we could keep going.
Yeah.
I've got questions during Facebook Live. I have questions about the trend in black label wines. I don't know what this is, but they're darker and they're bigger and they're black label to get your attention. And the whiskey girl likes that we're doing wine in whiskey and bourbon barrels.
Every year about this time, my wife Melva made some wine. Every year about this time, the air is sweet as Melba's wine.
It's Johnny Cash.
And I sip her
all right,
wine and
got one right.
To the Robin
See,
thing.
I know my country.
You mean your list was correct?
I abandoned the list.
Your schedule was accurate.
Is Johnny even on this list? Cash isn't even on this list. I feel so smart.
But George Jones was earlier, even though.
Give me one victory.
Thought it was George Strait.
It is National Drink Wine Day, midday with Jamie and Wicket. We are joined in studio by Jimmy Franze, the godfather of wine here in Kansas City. A lot of questions coming in on the text line. We appreciate everybody getting in, because if you have questions about wine, this is the guy to ask. Like, what do you think of the trend of wine going to cans and boxes?
That's a great question. I will tell you, they're putting some really good wine in boxes, and more power to them. For one thing, it stays preserved really well in that bag inside that box, because oxygen doesn't react with it. So you can drink them for a lot longer. They stay pretty vibrant. Obviously, you can't keep them for months.
Letting wine go for months that's buying it in a box? Let's be real.
There's some pretty big box wines out there, let me tell you.
Actually, though, I don't do... So I think a box is, 3.5 bottles or 5 bottles usually, the smaller box?
There's different sizes. But yeah, there's usually a few bottles to maybe six or seven bottles.
The thing I like about a box wine is that I'm sometimes just if I just want one glass of wine at night, and I'm really sensitive to a bottle being open. If it's open for more than 24 hours, my palate knows that. I don't want that. So I'm not wasting an entire bottle of wine for just wanting one glass. And the box will stay good.
It does. It preserves the wine inside that, because that bag inside, air doesn't get in as you're draining it out.
Yeah.
So it stays just like it wasn't opened.
What about canned wine, which is becoming a trend? I'm seeing it at more concerts and events because it's easier to sell.
Well, you know, I'm such a traditionalist in some ways. Canned wines were, to me, that's like a can of beer. Beer belongs in a can. I'm not sure about wine, but there are some spritzer wines. There are some there's a lot of wines coming out of a can. They really aren't bad. So I've got to admit it.
If you read between the lines, Jimmy's saying, stop buying your damn wine in a can. Right? Buy a bottle like a man.
But it does make it more accessible. And if it gets wine, gets people trying wines, gets them interested in it, more power to it.
We got the same question from two different people, and I like it because we've never really talked about this, and I don't know a lot about it. But two people have asked about ice wines. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what ice wines are and how to pick a good one?
I just sold a bottle of ice wine last night. A restaurateur from St. Louis was in the restaurant. Ice wines, the process is that the grapes stay on the vine way long into almost wintertime. They get they build up a lot of sugar, and they literally almost pick the grapes when they're frozen. It's just very cold. But it's the content of the sugar that makes ice wines more what they are. But because they're harvested so late, I mean, sometimes into December if the conditions are right, and it produces a very concentrated, usually much sweeter wine. Well-made ice wines are tremendous, and that's, I think, the ice wine part came because of the lateness of the harvesting of those grapes. And sometimes they are almost frozen when they're harvested.
We got more questions coming in. If you have questions, 22980. What is the best kind of wine for someone that is sensitive? I'm going to say to like the sulfites in wine, someone that gets migraines or headaches,
right,
and is sensitive to, I can't easily explain what tannins are. I'm sure you could, but what's the best kind of wine for somebody that's sensitive to that? Yeah,
you know, that's a hard question, because most wines in the world have a little sulfur added to them because it stops bacteria from continuing to grow if the wine isn't. And there are natural sulfites. Sulfites come out of grapes naturally, so there's always usually a little sulfites in it, in a bottle of wine. You know, white wines, I think, would probably be better on that side. I don't know a wine. I don't know a sulfite-free wine. That's a good question. But I would say, if you've tried wines and you haven't reacted to sulfites, that's probably a good place to go, because most wines do have sulfites.
Question from Facebook Live. David wants to know, what about the wine screws that allow you to drink it and reseal? Are they worth the money?
You know, they help. There's a Corvin system out now that a needle goes down through the top, and you can extract the wine, and no oxygen gets in touch with the wine. It's a costly system. Because you have to buy these little canisters of gas. It doesn't pour real quickly, so if you're very busy, it slows you down. But those systems work well. Even the ones that pump the air out of the bottle, they help. Because when you talk about oxidation, it's about oxygen. We have two great systems at JJ's. I got to put a plug in. Every wine that is opened and going to stay open and be poured by the glass goes on a nitrogen system. We have special stoppers. And now, I was just in Epernay, France, in the Champagne region last summer. I brought back home a technology that preserves champagne with CO2 in the same way. So I've just opened Jimmy's Bubble Bar. And we have, 20 sparkling wines by the glass. So, yeah, though any of those systems that help take the oxygen out of the bottle, those are all good. And there's many different kinds.
Speaking of gadgets, is there a gadget that you, there are a lot of gadgets out there dealing with wine, a lot of things that claim to take the air out of the bottle and the vacuum systems and stuff. And some of those can get pretty costly, as you mentioned.
Right.
Is there one that's really worth it? I mean, that maybe doesn't cost $100, but is there a gadget you should have at home? Like, I have an aerator that I pour the wine through, and to me, that is worth every penny.
I agree. Yes. I have one too. Yeah. It's cheap. It's like $15 or whatever
totally
it was.
But see, an aerator is doing exactly the opposite that we're talking about. It's putting oxygen in the wine so you can open it up and enjoy it quicker. There are some little gas canister systems that are made for individual, like the Wine Enthusiast has a catalog. And probably if you go online and just say wine preservation systems, and there's some that don't cost you an arm and a leg, and they're for individual bottles in your home. You get a little stopper, you know, when you extract the wine. The bottle's filled up with nitrogen or argon. Those are two inert gases. And no oxygen's in touch with it. They'll keep the wine good for quite a few days.
Well, if you have any more questions for Jimmy, go see him at JJ's over on the plaza. He'll be there to answer them.
Absolutely.
Potentially.
And a couple of you were asking questions on the text line that we covered already a little bit earlier, so I'd encourage you to go back and check out the podcast or the Facebook Live.
Definitely. Jimmy, thank you so much for coming in. Have a glass for us.
Oh, I will.
Just
and,
glass.
And by the way, I think every day is drink wine day.
You know,
we don't need just one. We need 365.
I need to tell and convince my wife of that. She doesn't totally agree. But thank you so much. We really appreciate it. All the questions. We'll do it again.
I would look forward to it.
Jimmy Fronce, Kansas City's godfather of wine, joining us in studio. It's midday with Jamie and Wicket.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.